single worst things in the machine, too. Those things I just ate.
What did you eat?
Those sugar wafers.
You ate all of them?
Oh, yeah. No, they're gone.
Well, I don't
have a couple minutes to eat. Rick Emerson can't take time to eat things slowly during the show. And they're the single worst thing. Because, if I'm going to get food out of the machine, I don't try to gild the lily and pretend that I'm getting something that's helpful. I just go right for the thing that's just going to kill you, which is the thing that's absolute crap. And all of those are just sugary wafers filled with sugary goodness in the middle. So there's they're like a German candy, too. And the Germans really know how to make things that are bad for you.
I know, they taste kind of melty and oh so good.
Totally. That's good. Now they're melty away inside me. Rick, rest assured that at least some percentage of the listening audience gets the jokes that your cohorts don't have the subtle wit to appreciate. And he says, stick for gum. Ha. You can tell it's funny because it's in all caps. Ha. It's 503-733-2. 970. Coming up here just a second, we'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Bottom of the hour, more from Tim Riley. And then Sarah Dillon's going to figure out how we're giving away Al Gore tickets. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Dirty South, our good friend Ed McCarthy joining us now on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hey, Ed, how you doing, man?
Good, Rick. What's up?
Not a whole lot. We were talking to Gary Baumgarten earlier today and trying to figure out if he knows who's going to be stepping up to in his stead once he's moved on. So is it? Let me ask you this: is CNN an organization? Do they promote from within at your fine news gathering company?
Well, I don't know. I think they're looking all over. I really don't know. They have some kind of a talent hunter or something that handles that or whatever. You know, or unless they have their own ideas, and then they do that because they try to make it look like it's, pretty much, not a done deal.
Yeah.
You don't want to have any kind of perception like that going on, you know.
I suppose maybe they could just outsource it, you know what I mean? Everybody's about cost-cutting these days. Maybe they could just find some guy in Sri Lanka or whatever to report the news.
Don't give them any ideas, Rick.
Well, look, I don't want to look at it. You could be in Manila for all I know. I have no way, Ed McCarthy, of determining that you are, in fact, in Atlanta.
I am today, and I'll be in Detroit tomorrow. And we're heading off to the World Series.
Well, let's talk about this Wesley Snipes thing now. Is it possible that Wesley Snipes owes $22 million in taxes?
You know, the more I look at this thing, you have to wonder if the government has one of these deals where they get the high-profile guy, because they've got these other two guys that, were apparently in some kind of a scam-type thing where they were, you know, pretty much thumbing their nose at IRS in the first place. So he got caught up with this thing because, you know, these are the guys that go away, they do their job, they make the movies, and they get somebody else take care of their finances. And then they ultimately find out the people that they had were not the greatest guys in the world. That's happened a million times.
Well, the problem is that there's two things. They always get, like, their brother-in-law to operate. Who should take care of my books? Well, I could get a guy who's an accredited accountant, or I could have the guy who used to cut my hair. And, you know, and so they'll get some guy. His only qualifications for anything is that he was able to draw the little picture of the turtle on the inside of the matchbook. And that's his skill for operating his own accounting firm.
Yeah. This deal with Wesley Snipes, I mean, you know, 8 counts of tax fraud he's indicted. He's accused of trying to cheat the government out of almost $12 million in false refund claims for not filing returns for 6 years.
6 years? Even I know you have to file a tax return, and I'm a moron. Here's why it's doubly unforgivable with celebrities, and I'm not going to name names, but we had it was a celebrity at one point here in Oregon who had a bit of a run-in with the IRS recently. And my question is, you got to figure that at this point in 2006 in American culture, if you are a celebrity, you can no longer claim ignorance. The days of Willie Nelson just being able to go like, well, I didn't know you had to pay taxes when you were famous. Those days are gone because everybody has seen Behind the Music. Everybody's seen the E! True Hollywood Story. It doesn't really seem like there's much wiggle room now in sort of saying that you didn't know. You know what I mean?
Well, with the IRS, you don't want to put out a red flag either. So they're saying that Snipes fraudulently claimed refunds also totaling nearly $12 million in 96 and 97 on income taxes that were already paid. So in other words, like, okay, I paid it, now I want it back. So they go, well, you can't do that. But, you know, I think the question's going to be here. Of course, they're still looking for him.
Well, that's the thing is, he's on the lam, right? Nobody even knows where he is.
Yeah, whereabouts unknown. So, you know, we're at this point here where, you know, I think the government's going to probably roll this case. And, you know, it's going to be a situation where these other two guys, you know, if they don't take the fall, he's going to go down with them. You know, I don't know how it's going to work. You know, the government sometimes, you know, they win, sometimes they don't. But
even I understand that the secret of a successful con is to only try to scam your mark or your target out of a little bit of money. Trying to steal $5 from somebody is okay. If you try to steal $12 million, that's the sort of thing that the government tends to notice. Even I know that, and I'm not the world's brightest bulb. So.
It is. You know, it used to be they'd go after the little guy for 50 cents, you know, and make that a high-profile thing. But now they go for the big, you know, the star types. And, you know, if you got the star quality, they look at that. They know that's going to get the headlines, and they're going to say, the scare, you know, people are going to say, oh, look at this. Yep. I better watch this.
Let me count up
all those pairs of shoes I gave to the Salvation Army.
I'm telling you right now, and you can pass this idea along. Here's what they got to do. So the government figured that what I heard this morning is they figured that they are owed by Wesley Snipes somewhere in the neighborhood of around $20 million. What they got to do is the government ought to, of that $20 million, because let's be honest, where's Wesley Snipes going to get $20 million? Not like he's going to be able to do Demolition Man 2 anytime soon. So of that $20 million that the government figures they're owed, here's what they ought to do. They take $2 million. I can't believe I'm helping the government this way, but they take $2 million of that, and they just make that a bounty for the first person who finds Wesley Snipes and tells the man where he is.
The bounty hunter, and he's in trouble.
That's what I'm saying. You just like 2% of whatever it is the government's owed, that goes to the person who calls the cops and tells me Wesley Snipes at a donut shop down the street.
Wouldn't that be a great show, Doug, the bounty hunter, picking up Wesley Snipes?
I see. I just generate these ideas constantly. I'm not even going to use that one. That's yours to pass along, Ed McCarthy.
Go ahead, use it.
Right.
I don't get any royalties. Don't worry about
it. That's what I'm saying. No, I just, you know, for me, it's all about the joy of artistic creation, my friend. All right, Ed McCarthy, enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy your, it's fall down there, but it doesn't really get that cold in the South, so you should enjoy it.
Yeah, we had some cold weather, rainy, and now it's up there. It's like 82 degrees or something, then it's going to get cold again. So, it's the wacky fall we get. We always get this.
Enjoy the wackiness, my friend. We will talk to you very soon.
All right, Rick.
There you go. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. I love that guy. All right, Sarah Dillon, how you doing?
Okay, now I have kind of an idea, but I don't know how to do it. So
right.
I have 10 regular pop culture questions.
Did I ever tell you that I enjoy doing a radio program with you?
No.
I feel that we work well together, Sarah.
That's very nice to hear.
I feel not unwarmly about you.
Oh, well, thank you, Rick. All right, so I got 8 out of 10 right on this one. I just didn't know when never mind. I'm not supposed to say the question.
What?
So I have these hard ones from Aaron, Geek in the City, that are for you in some way, and then these 10 easier ones for a listener.
I'm confused.
I don't know. Who can help us figure this out? I have 20 pop culture questions.
I got a box of like 500 for the Trivial Pursuit thing. I don't think...
Are we even lacking that part of our brain?
I think... Here's what it is, Sarah Dillon. Look, and I don't mean any disrespect to my radio brethren, but I think that... I just think that we lack the chromosome or the section in our heads that allows us to do kooky, you know, like predictable, easily structured. What we need is somebody who has like a lowest common denominator sensibility.
Where can we find that?
We need somebody who has, I don't know, like a very, very run of the mill, very pedantic.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who has really no exceptional out of the box type thoughts, whose every rumination is utterly without and devoid of any sort of deviation from the norm.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Too easy. Beam us up, Scotty.
Too easy.
End of message.
I totally smelt the buildup of that as I walked by.
I'm going to write that down. Hold on.
I was hoping you were talking about me.
Hold on. I totally smelled the buildup of that. That's our new quote. Smelled the buildup.
Hey, these are courtesy of Brad the car guy. I tried to get him to come on.
Hold on. Well, this is radio. We have to explain what we're talking about here, Scotty. So Scotty came in clutching a bunch of hats just now. These are Brad the car guy dropped these off?
Yeah, for you.
All right, for my pate. Or whatever it is you say.
Can I have the gay leather motorcycle man hat?
The quotes are just coming too quickly for me. But can I have the gay? Now that is a Jaguar, as Liam Gallagher would say.
Is
right?
It?
Is that leather? Is that leather?
It's
or is
totally
it vinyl?
Leathery.
Sarah is now wearing. It looks good on you. It's like a Britney Spears hat.
Does it? Oh, I really like it.
It is a black leather Jaguar hat that you wear now. But that's the kind of hat that I can't make work. Right.
No, it looks kind of like a village people hat.
And he also brought me a Jaguar baseball cap.
You know,
I'm a lame white man, I can make the baseball cap. I can rock the baseball cap. I wonder if this would get chicks, too, if I'm wearing a baseball cap. This is Jaguar. No, probably not. So I can't work. The leather hat that he just brought in is really good, but only good on you. I could not See, that's the kind of hat that I could not wear.
Let's see what it looks like on Scotty J.
No, no. I just thought of a great idea.
I should put it on just to see if it works.
We can all pitch in.
No, but that means your head would have touched it, and then I won't want to wear it.
Can I hit his thing? It's not,
I'm sorry.
I'm not covered in leprosy.
I don't know what's going on under there, and I don't really want to.
You know what we can do? We can.
Look. I really feel like we're overstating
all right,
the hideousness.
Then let's look at it.
No, you don't have to know because now it's been built up into this whole thing, and now you've made me feel all self-conscious about it. I'm saying it is though I have. First of all, like a very short crew cut. Which is that's the really the worst thing about it. This is the reason for the hat. Somebody was asking me, we're away from the Al Gore thing, but somebody was asking me about the reason that because they said, how long are you going to wear a hat? And I said, probably a couple weeks. And they said, what do you mean a few weeks? And I noted that the procedure itself, your head kind of looks like you got a bad sunburn or whatever, but that's not really the issue. That goes away within like a week, 10 days or so. It's that to do it, my hair was relatively long, compared to most guys who get this done, and they had to cut it like almost all the way down. Literally, it's like a quarter of an inch, maybe. But not all the way around. I have this sort of reverse mohawk where, like, on my sides, like the sort of sideburn area and the temple area, my hair is normal length. But then this, like, 6-inch wide swath down the middle where they just had to cut it down to do the medical hair restoration. So that just looks weird. And the thing is, your hair, you can't make your hair grow any faster. So that's why the hat. Because it's just my hair just looks all weird and short.
Well, yeah, totally.
And this is where my special idea comes into play, where we should have like a special Rick Day where all the listeners, including us, all wear hats.
Is this because the cancer kid in your high school has to shave his head?
Almost
and
exactly
the football
like
team,
that.
The football team all comes to school hairless.
A show of solidarity. A special support Rick Day.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Well, I'll put it on here in a few. I have to take the headphones off and everything. I'll do it during the break.
Okay.
All right. So,
okay,
Scotty, here's the thing. Sarah and Tim and I have been doing radio for quite some time, and we have proven spectacularly unsuccessful in being able to contest, as they say, and this is an ongoing lament. But you know what, Scotty? Now that you are an official cast member of the Rick Emerson Show, now that you are the PA here in this program, I feel like it's time that we truly take advantage of some of your ideas and thoughts and so forth. So, Scotty, this is going to be your first real test. We're going to hand over something to you. I'm going to give you sole responsibility for this. And this sinks or swims with you. This rises or falls on your narrow shoulders, my friend. I have all of these pop culture questions, and I have these Al Gore tickets. I have no idea how to structure the contest to give these tickets away. Solve it now.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. I've taken down a bunch of names of people guessing the temperature. That's where we started out today. So, at the end of the day, we are going to say what the temperature is in this room and who's ever closest.
Okay,
wins.
Well, we had that, but that only helps us today.
Yeah, but we have
the pop culture questions.
I'm saying we got the pop culture questions, and I got the rest of the week.
And here's the idea on the pop culture questions for tomorrow. It's Thursday. So
I think we were going to do them today, too.
Well, because I have a whole pile of stuff to give away as well. We got a bunch of onion books and whatever. I'm saying this is a larger issue. You can't just give me a fish today, Scotty, because then I don't eat tomorrow.
Because we can do pop culture. We can think of something for the onion, but the pop culture tomorrow using Aaron and Sarah against you, and Aaron and Sarah are
like
for the listener.
This is like a needlessly complicated
the listener.
Can't we just
call? Aaron gave me the questions that I want to use.
Oh, so he
can't. Can we just call Doug and Skippy and ask them how to do a dumb contest like this? Because I don't know. Oh, God, I hate me.
Are they available?
Do these people have any suggestions?
I don't know. I'm just going to start taking calls. This whole show today, today's show is, it's not that it's not the best show ever. It is. It's just a little unformed. I'm going to take some of these here. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
Rick, it's Dave. How you doing?
Hi, Dave. What's up, brother?
Hey, I want to give you a hand on getting rid of those tickets.
Yes.
Why don't you have two listeners who think they are good at pop culture go against each other?
Well, there you go. That way they're not overmatched.
Doesn't have to involve us.
That way, well,
No, that's a great idea. I have these hard questions from Aaron Geek in the City.
Are they hard?
They are hard.
Give me a sample question.
Hmm.
Give me some. Well, I will judge the hardness.
Okay. Steven Tyler has credited what film is the inspiration for Walk This Way?
Young Frankenstein.
Okay. Yeah.
Bam! That's what I'm talking
about. All right.
About.
What about this one?
Brooklyn.
Who wrote the theme song to LeVar Burton's famous PBS series, Reading Rainbow?
James Taylor.
Wrong.
Oh, that was a full-on guess. It was a stone guess. Who did that?
Chaka Khan.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Hey, if Aaron writes it, I believe it.
Chaka Khan? I'm not saying that's not true. I'm just saying in a skillion years, I never would have guessed Chaka Khan.
Do you remember that theme song?
No.
Take a look.
Sing it now.
Reading Rainbow.
Okay. All right. That's a
I
good
loved
I...
that song. It had Geordi in it.
I never watched Reading Rainbow.
Geordi LaForge from Star Trek.
I know who he is.
Yeah, just, he was the
he was also in. He was also in Revenge of the Nerds, wasn't he? Wasn't that LeVar Burton?
No.
God, no. He was in Roots, Jack.
Okay.
You're just so embarrassed.
Okay, this phone call is done. We're finished, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir. No, good day to you, sir. All right, there you go.
All right, well, let's get a couple listeners.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. Scotty, I'm going to blow through these calls really quickly.
Okay.
We will break. We'll come back. Tim will give us some Ministry of Truth information. While he is doing that, you will get two listeners to face off against each other.
Two really cocky ones.
Yeah. Right. It's called, you know, people who really, they seem to know their stuff.
Now, is this for the Onion stuff?
This show is wearing me out today.
Why don't you take these sample questions?
You know, this contest for Onion stuff or for the Al Gore? Because Al Gore is the temperature.
The temperature contest is pointless now because the air conditioner is fixed.
Got a bunch of guesses, though.
Why don't you have every person, the two people, they have to get at least five of these easier pop culture questions right to be able to go on for Aaron's question.
Oh, now it's so hard again. You're making
no,
it like,
because that way, because we
like
won't get...
NCAA bracket.
Because nothing is more boring than a contest of people who get on and don't know what the hell's going on. So, I mean, if they can answer something simple like this, then they'll probably be able to take on Aaron's question.
Is radio really this hard to do?
I don't know.
Are we all on drugs or something today? All right.
Scotty, I have faith in you.
Scotty, I'm going to go through these calls, then we're going to break.
Okay.
Just figure this out. Make it work. All right. Hello, sir. Who is this? Kay?
Kay.
Is it, your name is Kay?
Well, you'll understand why I just gave you the letter there after the story.
Oh, I see. This is one of those, Dear Abby, I have a friend named Kay. All right.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, how can I help you, sir?
Okay, quick background here. Graduated high school from a small town, 400 people, you know, class of 9 graduates. They were stoked. It was the biggest one in 10 years.
Okay.
Okay, shop class one day, we spotted deer up on the football field.
Okay, so, I like where this is going.
We run down to one of the many vehicles full of weapons, climb back up the hill, and knock him down, so to speak, right in the middle of the football field on the 50-yard line.
Okay,
We run back, tell the shop teacher, he says, fine, you take him home and put him in your garage. So we ran home, hung him in the garage. While we were home, we just decided to cut off one of his antlers, take it back to shop class, and made a smoking device out of it.
This is one of those things in the teenage boy's head where there are only two, it's like a flow chart, and there are only two roads. One of them ends with trying to get a girl to have sex with you, and the other one ends with smoking marijuana. It doesn't matter. See, you're laughing because you know it's true.
Exactly.
A boy looks at anything and he says to himself, will this help me get laid? Yes, no. If yes, move forward. If no, will this help me smoke pot? You know, yes, no. And then just repeat. And that's all it is. And it's just an infinite loop. There you go. So, that's fantastic, sir. In a people should never do this kind of way.
Exactly.
Thank you, Kay. All right, there you go. We'll do two more here and then we'll break. Keith, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I got not a shop story, but a great gun story for you.
Okay.
Okay, so I went to junior high in Hillsboro.
Uh-huh.
We had a rifle range under the school in the old fallout shelter.
When was this?
This was, I went to the junior high, the same place that one of your guys did. He graduated there in 84, and I went out there in 89. And you couldn't read when you got out of junior high, but you could
shoot a gun. Well, I mean, let's just be honest here. Let's just call a spade a spade. If you really can handle a gun well, learning to read is kind of pointless. You can kind of get whatever you need. You know what I mean?
Their time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The irony is it was built in the old fallout shelter. So, you know, trading one for the other.
Well, that's, you know, because you'll need practice for shooting your neighbors to keep them out so they don't have your food and water supply after the bombs drop.
Again, very, very forward thinking.
No, it's true. That's what I'm saying. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
All right. To go. And one more. Aaron, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, Rick. I went to high school in Iowa in a small town, and we were able to bring our shotguns to school and shoot trap in PE class.
That was right there next to like discus and javelin. It was shooting stuff.
Every year, right before pheasant season starts, of course, they would all go out behind the school and blow up little orange discs with our shotgun.
You know, one of the things about whenever you go, like, if you go skeet shooting or anything like that with somebody, or if you ever just, because, you know, and I'm not an anti-gun guy. We talk about, you know, there's on the website at rickemerson.com, there's a bunch of photos when Paul Halama and a bunch of us all went out and we shot fully automatic machine guns with Fairly Honest Don a couple years ago, including a belt-fed M60 that we just fired into a swamp that was bolted on the back of a Jeep. It was fantastic. But it is weird, actually, when you think back on, because I used to go shooting with my dad a lot when I was a kid, and we had friends that we would shoot skeet and stuff like that. And it is weird when you think back on how the amazing amount of trust, it is sort of retroactively terrifying. When you think back and you realize at any moment if one of those guys had been off his meds or just having a bad day, just, you know, could have just ended everything for all of you right there. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You know, you always wanted one of the unstable kids wasn't just going to turn around to the bleachers and just, you know, unload a couple rounds
everybody.
Yeah,
a guy who's been dumped by his girlfriend and had a quart of whiskey that morning. You know what I mean?
All right.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Aaron. All right, there you go. Rick, this email says, did you just say that you will, quote, judge the hardness? Yes, I did. And something apparently clips onto the back of Sarah's collar. It's 503-733-2970. Let's break now. We come back. We have Al Gore tickets. We have Tim Riley. Later on, we have Jim. Do we have Jim Rick? I don't know. I don't believe we do. We do have Jen Lane, though. And the top five created by Scotty J. You stay there. Sir Rick Emerson, Joan, AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Any of these things. I have no idea what's a bad hat and what's not. It's the Rick Emerson Show, 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
It's time to go after terrorists in space, or the allegations that they're there. The president has signed an order asserting the United States' right to deny adversaries access to space.
You can't deny people
Okay. The president just did it.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Is he going to access them? Is he going to deny them access to the land of imagination, too?
There it is.
And it's from CBS News.
I don't make these things up. This is the world that we're living in.
Are you kidding me?
From CBS News.
Okay,
we have the right to take away
space.
Someone's access to space if we don't like them for any reason.
Okay, I mean, even by George Bush standards, that's insane. When did that come out? Just now?
A few minutes ago. It's from today.
There are no words.
They're not publicizing this.
Well, no, because it's goddamn insane. Why would... Of course you couldn't publicize it. All right. Make a note that we have
publicly announced, although unclassified details of this decision were posted on the website of the Office of Science and Technology Policy. Now, freedom of action in space is as important to the United States as air power and sea power. In order to increase knowledge, discovery, economic prosperity, and to enhance national security, the United States must have robust, effective, and efficient space capability.
Let's also tell them they denied access to King Friday's kingdom.
Now, the policy says that space systems should have rights of passage without interference, and the United States would view any deliberate interference with its space systems as an infringement on its rights. This is vital to national interest.
All right. Well, so, there you go.
No one has been denied access to space so far today.
Good God Almighty.
That can change.
Yes, the day's not over yet.
Meanwhile, a Central New York woman's frisky behavior with a sheriff's deputy have landed her in the county jail. This happened in Broome County, New York. A sheriff's deputy was checking on a Port Crane woman. Deputies say the 51-year-old woman grabbed him and kissed him several times on the cheek. He said he pushed the woman away. This obviously didn't happen here with our former police chief. But she grabbed him below the waist while singing a song and trying to dance with him. The deputy said the woman tried to remove the bathroom. The deputy says the woman tried to remove the bathrobe she was wearing, but he advised her to leave it on.
Where was this happening at?
Port Crane, New York.
But I mean, at a home, at a bar, at the mall?
At her home, apparently. She is charged with misdemeanor forcible touching.
And so he...
$500 bail.
Why was he there?
Someone called and asked if somebody would check on
this. This is like that story we had in Florida the other day where the woman was like, I'm calling 911 because I need some hot man love. And she was just calling the cops or some guy would come over and give it to her. Yeah, okay. All right.
It's our national epidemic, really.
Okay.
Well, after a tumultuous 14-year marriage marked by drug arrests and stints in rehab, Whitney Houston is divorcing Bobby Brown. These papers filed in Orange County Superior Court a month after filing legal separation from Brown. And, she asked for the separation papers that she be granted custody of the couple's 13-year-old daughter, Bobby Katrina. That's Bobby with an I at the end.
And somebody said that they were trying to pitch another reality show that was about the kid. And I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but there's going to be some other reality show that they're trying to pitch now that is just about raising about Whitney trying to raise the daughter or whatever. Speaking of which, you see that my prediction came true that Steve Irwin's kid has a TV show.
I have it right here.
What's her name? Bindi? Bindle?
Bindi.
Spindle?
What kind of name is that?
Stupid
B-I-N-D-I.
Australian name. B-I-N-D-I. So, yeah, Bindi Irwin has been and I predicted this like 3 weeks ago.
Bindi the Jungle Girl.
When she was speaking at her father's funeral, I said there's an agent somewhere right now who's watching her and signing her up. And, man, they released it yesterday. It's happened.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. It's going to be on Discovery Kids and Network.
Yeah, all
right. Now we're triple Britney Watch.
Here's your Britney Watch.
Britney Spears trying to boost sales of her husband Kevin Federline's debut album by sponsoring a contest with a fan who helps sell the most albums gets to party with the company on Halloween.
Yes. The second prize is the lawsuit that you'll get to fire against Kevin Federline after he drunkenly gropes you later in the night.
So the couple is having a special CD release party on Halloween night to promote the aspiring rapper's debut album, Playing With Fire. The second prize is a pair of sneakers that Federline wore when he performed
that
the Teen Choice Award.
My feet have been in. Imagine winning that as a prize. The idea that you win a pair of shoes, an item of clothing, against which Kevin Federline's sweaty flesh has been pressed.
Third place, $200 gift certificate.
Okay.
Kim runners have to get a replica of a medallion that Federline wears.
That's it. I'm going to start giving away things that have been pressed up against Scotty's underarms.
Britney is set to fall in her idol Madonna's footsteps. And she, too, will adopt an African child.
We should adopt one. Let's call Africa. Scotty, get Africa on the phone and tell them
You're taking care of it.
I know. I'm not taking care of it. It'll be the state. It'll be all of our. It'll be like in health class when they make you carry around a thing of sugar with a face on it.
Give it to Scotty to take care of.
We should. No.
Like parking a car.
Well, Scotty,
you've got lots of room in that split level house.
You got lots of experience, too, Scotty. I'm telling you right now, if I were a lesser man, if I were more a shock-oriented and titillating radio program, we ourselves, as the Rick Emerson Show, would just attempt to adopt an African child. Because clearly it's what everybody's... Let me just say this while we're talking
I would not
about
have
that.
Any part of that, because in some way it would be manipulated that since I'm the woman, I'm supposed to keep it.
Well, you know, that's when you're not doing the washing up. I'm going to say I am as annoyed by anybody as Madonna and her relentless trend hopping. Not because I have any problem with her adopting the kid, but because it just bothers me that she's no longer a trendsetter, that she's just imitating things that she's everybody else doing. But I don't understand why everybody's all on her back about adopting. I mean, really, I don't mean to pretend to be an expert on the relative economic states of, say, you know, Africa and everywhere else, but I am kind of fluent in the fact that Madonna has got more money than God, and so it seems like, by definition, you could pick anybody from any country, anywhere, on any continent on Earth, randomly pick them, and they're going to have a better life growing up in Madonna's house than they would, you know, like anywhere else. So I really, honestly, don't understand why everybody's all so pissed off at her about it. It's just it seems like one of those things where the media's just got to be annoyed at something. This seems like a cumulative grudge that has built up against Madonna for other things. Like the media or just people or folks or pundits are just... These are just long-standing irritations that they've got with Madonna, and this is just the excuse to take them out on her. Because It does seem like you could do worse than to be growing up in a house of a fantastically wealthy woman who can, satisfy your every financial need. So I don't really see the downside there to anybody, but, you know, what do I know?
Only 5 weeks after giving birth to her second son, Britney Spears has successfully shed those extra pregnancy pounds and returned to her stunning petite pop princess figure.
Okay, that's not true, first of all. Let's talk about this. I will say that she...
seen on the magazine covers.
I will say that she doesn't have any flab rolling out anymore, but I'm going to say that there's...
She's added some years.
You know, the Sweet Chariots swing low. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, really?
You haven't seen... I'm not saying
no,
it's bad.
No, I posted the pictures. I just didn't look at the chariot.
Here's the thing about that Britney Spears picture. Is it on your website?
Yeah.
Okay, you go to... I'm not saying she's ugly. And you know what? She has... she does seem to have dropped a lot of the baby fat. I am simply saying this. That, she does, bosom-wise, she does look like, at least in the photo I saw, she does look like a woman who has had, she has two, right? Two kids, and has and is a big believer in breastfeeding, as we've heard. And she does, from outward appearances, and again, those things are covered up by a shirt and a sweater, she does look like a woman who has breastfed two children. That's all I'm saying.
They are a little low.
There's
nothing wrong with it, but they are a little lower than they were.
Again, and it's not like she's expected to be flawless. I am simply saying that your body does not, it doesn't come back.
Kevin should have had the same talking to that Paul McCartney did. those are mine, woman.
Those breasts are for K-Fed. Whack. You know he probably talks about himself in the third person. You know that he refers to himself as K-Fed. So, it's okay. I mentioned she'll get that taken care of. I mean, you know, the girl's clearly not averse to plastic surgery. So those things will be up where they're supposed to be again sometime soon. Here's Tim Riley.
And that's the Britney watch.
Is that all three? Oh, there you go. There's a triple Britney watch.
Britney, before you go, there's something I want you to have.
I see my problem is this.
Fantastic. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Tag, you're out. Officials at an elementary school south of Boston, Attleboro, Massachusetts, have banned kids from playing tag, touch football, and any other unsupervised chase games during recess because they fear they'll get hurt and hold the school liable. Yes, recess is a time when accidents can't happen, says White Elementary School principal.
Are you saying recess?
I am.
I don't think that's a word.
We've gone through this before.
Have we?
Yes, we have.
Okay, never mind then. We'll just move on.
Another recessing tomato and tomato discussion. I'll say it your way.
my what my people call maize.
Well, recess.
It's funny that you're actually having to work at it. It's sort of like rolling a rock up a hill.
Is a time when accidents happen, says the principal. While there is no district-wide ban on contact sports during recess, local rules have been cropping up.
When you say it, it makes me sound like a rube, as though we're bumpkins or something, trying to say recess.
Running around the cement pond, several school administrators around Attleboro, a city of about 45,000 residents, took aim at dodgeball a few years ago, saying it was exclusionary and dangerous.
Oh,
elementary schools in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and Spokane, Washington, have recently banned tag during recess. A suburban South Carolina school outlaws unsupervised contact sports.
Excellent. All right. Let's do like two more here, and then we'll do this contest. Scotty has rustled up a couple guys for the pop culture contest for these Al Gore tickets. We'll do two more, and then we'll do that.
Well, are we going to talk about Madonna again?
No, let's not. All no, right. Man, because I just don't... It's a fabricated story. That's the, not a fabricated story. It's fabricated outrage. That's what I'm saying. That's the whole thing about it. It's people who are looking to be pissed off about something. How dare she take a child from an economically deprived continent and give it a life of privilege? How dare you, Madonna? It's wrong.
And then we have this other non-story about Mark Foley, who, even though he may say who allegedly molested him, it's not being talked about publicly. So what good is a big to do about that?
Right. That's obviously just a statement put out by his lawyer.
Well, let's do a Democracy on the
Mark. Here's your Democracy on the Mark.
FBI Director Robert Mueller called on Internet service providers to record their customers' online activities, a move that anticipates a fierce debate over privacy and law enforcement in Washington next year. Terrorists, yes, we use that word, terrorists are coordinating their plans cloaked in the anonymity of the Internet, and they do violent, they're violent sexual predators, too. They're prowling chat rooms in Mueller. In a speech to the International Association...
I don't really believe anybody prowls chat rooms anymore. I think that's very 2002.
Browse?
I don't really know. I don't really know that happens. I don't even... I mean, do chat rooms even still exist?
I've never been to a chat room.
I don't know.
What do people chat about in the chat
room? I don't know. Chat rooms seem... And look, I
just see message boards. I don't really see chat rooms.
I see message boards, and then people do the IMing and so forth. But I don't really know that there are chat rooms.
I mean, finally, is there like... this way to the chat room?
That seems like a thing. The internet evolves very fast. And so people, again, there's the MySpace and the hey-hey and the whatnot. But the chat room seemed like a thing that's from a couple years ago. That seems like we have now moved past that. It's one of those things where the government's knowledge of what goes on it. Have you heard that thing that we run? I'm pretty sure it's a PSA, that Jamie Lee Curtis thing. That PSA where the daughter is talking and it's a whole lot of like, ASIQ Z59, blah, 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 Z. And is it whatever. And it's one of those things that, do you know what your children are saying online? Often they don't. And I try... It's fascinating to me because apparently you can send away, and that shows you, by the way, how out of touch they are. They'll send you a brochure, which will almost assuredly be out of date by the time you get it. They will send you a brochure.
Is it from Pueblo, Colorado?
Exactly. To catalog. Pueblo, Colorado. Do you remember the zip code?
Oh, I don't. 80019. Because I fear all the townspeople there are engaged in this activity about sending out these informative brochures.
You and I are talking about a thing right now that only four people in this entire world even know. Sarah, does it mean anything to you? Right to catalog, Pueblo, Colorado, 80019.
Nope.
You have no idea. Scotty, do you know what that means? When I say right to catalog, Pueblo, Colorado, 80... I want to do that and see if it still works. I don't even remember what that catalog was for.
There were several things from Pueblo, Colorado at one time.
That's a funny and vague phrase.
Well, if you wanted any informational brochure, you wrote to Pueblo, Colorado.
But there was this one... Okay, we need like a 9-hour show some days.
Pueblo, Colorado was the India of its day.
There was... You're full of non-sequitur phrases today. Pueblo, Colorado was the India of its day.
Well, anytime the government wanted to outsource something that nobody else wanted, it always went to Pueblo, Colorado.
And you
had to write there to get a copy of it.
Okay, but they used to run this commercial on television, and the tagline was that you wrote to catalog. Pueblo, Colorado, 80019. And it always struck me as a kid, it stuck out because the address was so simple and vague. But now, in retrospect, I can't remember what it was a catalog for.
I don't either.
and we're done.
there are one lines of commercials that stick in your head forever, like, are you an inventor?
Nate just sent me from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
No, that's stupid. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. Just kill yourself. No. That didn't have, because the Church of Jesus, I used to know that number. But you're right about lines of commercials like that. Are you an inventor, or do you know someone who's an inventor that would like to have an idea packaged and submitted to industry? Why do I know that? Here's another one. How about this? I remember the phone number for the Art Institute of Seattle. The Art Institute of Seattle. Call 206-623-7713. 206-623-7713. I haven't seen that commercial since I was probably 5 years old, because it would come on during the KSCW 1 o'clock film when I would get home from kindergarten. Still in my head. People judge you by the words you use. Believe it or not, the vocabulary you use tells people about your background, your intelligence, even your education and stuff like that. I guess maybe I don't know that one word for word. This is all very... Okay, this guy knows. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Yeah, we used to get everything that they would send to you, you know, that was free, because some of the stuff they charge for, but they'll send you an awful lot for free, and we were recycling the newspaper. Our thinking was we're going to bankrupt the government by getting them to print up, you know, millions of, and then just get the money, because the newspaper went
on our belt.
$65 a ton.
Okay. Let me ask you this. About this catalog Pueblo, Colorado thing. Do you remember what it was for?
Hello?
He must be listening in a radio. He's got that delay.
We're losing his phone. We're losing his... John?
Where'd he go?
John? Hello? John? Let's break. It's 503-7713.
I don't know what that is.
What number are you saying?
503-7713. 503-7713. I'm giving the Art Institute of Seattle number merged with ours. Art Institute of Seattle. Call 206-623-7713. Operator standing by. 506-623-7713. All right. I think I'm still on drugs. We've raised so many questions in today's show and answered none of them. Will China be allowed to use space? What is in Pueblo, Colorado? Why do I know the Art Institute number? Will we ever give away these goddamn Al Gore tickets? Back after this. The Groovy Ghoulies.
Yeah, yeah. Stop on sex with the shit you did.